know what? Chocolate is one of the most popular food flavorings in the world. But that's no secret. You knew that, didn't you? So did the Aztecs and the Maya peoples in the area that's now called Mexico, many centuries ago. But although chocolate has a history in the Americas, dating back at least 4,000 years, it took a while for the news about chocolate to reach other parts of the world. Actually, no one in Europe had even heard about chocolate until a few hundred years ago. Some historians believe that Christopher Columbus brought cocoa beans back to Spain after one of his trips. And somehow, by the year 1602, some cocoa beans had made it as far as Vienna. The cocoa beans were not made into chocolate bars, like the ones you and I like to eat so much. The beans became incorporated into a recipe for a very delicious but expensive hot drink called heiße Schokolade, which was strictly reserved for the very rich, including the family of the emperor. By the time that Maria Theresa became Empress of the Habsburg Empire, she employed her own chocolate maker, and she was the proud owner of a set of silver bowls with matching cups that were only used to serve her favourite chocolatey breakfast drink, to which she sometimes added vanilla or even cinnamon. Sweet, with marshmallows on the top. Come fill me up to the top of my cup. Lucky. Not everyone gets to have their own chocolate maker living in their house. Most other people had to go to the coffee shop in order to enjoy a heiße Schokolade. It was so tasty that some doctors even prescribed hot chocolate as medicine. Thinking that if something tasted that good, sure, it could only be good for you, right? Josh.
Yes, Susan.
I am going to do for you a magic trick.
Right.
You like magic, Josh?
Well, you know, not really, but if we must.
But Josh, I'm good at magic tricks.
I'm sure you are.
After this trick, you will like magic.
Ah, no, will I?
Yeah, you will. Okay. Are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
Woo! Okay, so, first thing.
Yep. What's that?
It was in my pocket, but now that's not the trick. Okay.
Oh, good.
So what? What is this? Tell me, what
that
is this?
Is a bar of white chocolate.
Yes, it is. A bar of white chocolate. You hold the white chocolate.
Okay.
Because now you and I are really doing the magic together.
Mm.
You're holding the white chocolate, and I will cause this white chocolate to turn into dark chocolate.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, stay right there.
I'm not moving. Where are you going?
I want to go over there to turn off the light.
Okay. Why is that?
Because if you turn off the light when... Is this going to work, Josh?
Probably not. What are you trying to do?
Well, I'm going to turn off the light and make the white chocolate dark chocolate.
So...
Something isn't right, Josh. What's the problem?
Yeah, it's light outside and we've got the curtains open. So I can still see the white chocolate. I don't even like white chocolate.
Forget it. I don't know what tune that the orchestra played, but it went bummy, sickly, sentimental. Can I have another piece of chocolate cake? Tammy Baker's got a lot on her plate. Can I buy another cheap Picasso fake? Here's a true story about another Viennese resident who loved chocolate so much. He was determined to have the best chocolate cake ever in order to impress his friends. Imagine that it's the year 1832. Prince Clemens von Metternich is a very important diplomat. Imagine he frequently holds meetings and attends dinner parties with all sorts of important people from all over the world. Well, he actually did. He was having a friend over for dinner one evening, and he was all set to have an unusually relaxed evening. Maybe playing cards or singing a few rowdy songs while thumping his fist on the table. Until disaster struck. That happens me sometimes when I discover that I forgot to defrost the frozen chicken. Or I didn't remember to buy milk. Well, for Prince Clemens, the disaster involved his personal chef, the guy who was going to cook the special dinner, who suddenly became ill and he could not continue with making the rest of the meal, including dessert. No dessert? Now, what sort of a dinner is that? Prince Clemens was desperate. Maybe his sweet tooth was sending him messages that a dinner without dessert was going to ruin everything and perhaps start a lot of gossip around Vienna. People might suggest he was a cheap host with no sensitivity to his guests' preoccupation with all things chocolate. He had to solve this problem somehow, so he sent for a chef from the nearby Sacher Hotel.
Ich esse gern a Sacher Torten und trinke gern a Melange. Ich gehe gern im Wald spazieren bei gutem und schlechtem Wetter.
Well, along comes Franz Sacher, just a kid really. Although in those days, a 16-year-old probably had to bear the responsibility of a fully grown adult. Herr Sacher, said the prince, I'm in a right state. Here is me with this dinner party happening this evening, and now my chef can't finish getting the food organized. Oh, isn't this a diabolical mess? Listen, can you make me a cake? But it can't be just any old cake, because I'm not just any old prince, and this is not just any old dinner party. No pressure. But Franz, this has to be a showstopper. Franz Sacher went off, and he had to think. Okay, said Franz when he came back. I'll do it. Franz Sacher designed and created a showstopper containing 2 layers of spongy chocolate cake with a layer of apricot jam inside, all covered with a thick chocolate glaze. The cake was so popular that he decided to keep the ingredients a secret. And he took that secret back to his family's hotel, where they continue to serve Sachertort. Do you know what? Here we are, almost 200 years later, and the recipe is still a secret. The Sacher Hotel here in Vienna makes more than 270,000 of those Sachertort cakes every year. And no one, except the bakers, know the exact recipe. Wow, that's a long time to keep a secret.
Triple cream cusp for Chris the First. Crunchy snorter for Oldies. Sizzler for June Marie. And listen, Wonka's got a new one today.
What is it?
This is called a scrumdiddlyumptious bar.
Scrumdiddlyumptious bar? How does he do it?
My dear boy, do you ask a fish how it swims?
No.
Or a bird how it flies?
No.
No, sirree, you don't. They do it because they were born to do it. Just like Willy Wonka was born to be a candy man. And you look like you were born to be a wonkerer. Who can take a sunrise, sprinkle it with dew, cover it in chocolate and a miracle or two? The Candyman. The Candyman can. The Candyman can. Plus he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. Who can take a rainbow, wrap it in a sigh, soak it in the sun and make a strawberry lemon pie?
The Candyman?
The Candyman. The Candyman can. The Candyman can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. Willy Wonka makes everything he bakes satisfying and delicious. Talk about your childhood wishes. You can even eat the dishes. Who can take tomorrow, dip it in a dream, separate the sorrow and collect up all the cream? The Candyman.
Willy Wonka can.
The Candyman can. The Candyman can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. And the world tastes good, 'cause the Candyman thinks it should.
Thank you so much to Joshua David Yardy, who produced this podcast and composed the music. You can find out more about Joshua at yardy.composer@gmail.com. Josh, I want to tell everybody that my name is Susan Shea, and you can learn a lot more about the city of Vienna, about how children learn. You can check out some fun family travel ideas, and you can celebrate this wonderful world at phoneticplanet.org.